Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
To the left, to the right.
Wait.
Fry.
I went left. I went right, left. But it's your left, my right. Right, left. Whatever. Whatever, it's Friday!
Whoa.
Who cares? It's Friday!
I'm a little scared.
Of me?
Of that.
Who's afraid of little old me?
Based on that level.
Be afraid. Very afraid.
And whatever is happening with your eyes right now, that's what's scaring me just a little bit.
There's some intensity there.
There is. Where's this coming from?
Caffeine.
Caffeine,
mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. Full cup of coffee.
Yeah. You're already one in.
We went to the Cedar Rapids Go Red for Women event.
Yes.
And they had a lovely little stand where they were handing out the free coffee packet things from local coffee, Verena Street.
Yes.
So you and I snagged a couple.
I think a dozen.
You did
no,
not.
No, I did not.
You were like an adult trick-or-treater.
I was.
Ooh, coffee.
I pass most promotional tables. But if you've got something, I don't need a squishy ball.
I agree.
I don't need a USB four-finger adapter.
That kind of stuff does not interest me. Like,
no.
I'm not, like, I don't need a pen. I don't need a chapstick. But coffee?
But pre-packaged to fit exactly one pot,
Eric,
you just made life easy. I don't have to measure.
And
it's also local good coffee.
Local coffee?
Yeah.
Like flavors I know and love.
Which one did you make this morning? The Mississippi Grog?
No, I had Cow Tipper, baby.
Cow Tipper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's so good. I had a cup at home. I'm having a cup right now. I'm sipping. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, I wonder if there's going to be just a little bit left if I just have it cold, if I serve it over ice with a little bit of milk when I get home. I'm like,
Your husband fill out, your kids don't have it, right?
No.
I'm just double checking. I don't know.
No.
I bet you right now somebody's listening that has a kid your daughter's age that drinks coffee. I will bet you $1.
Probably.
And you will give me $2.
Why would I give you $2?
Because I'm betting you.
That's how betting
that's
works?
That's how betting works.
I'm going to have to
I'll
follow
give
your
you
lead.
2-1 odds.
Okay.
And you're going to pay me $2.
And I would pay you?
I hope so. Because if they're letting kids drink energy drinks, why not a cup of coffee?
Let him have some coffee.
But your husband won't polish the pot off, so you're hoping to have a little.
No, he never does.
Residual.
He says that he loves coffee so much, but I'm like, well, then finish the pot. If you love it so much, prove it.
But is he working at one of those places now that has like the ultimate coffee station? When I was in.
It's impressive.
My St. Louis radio days, we had a Starbucks branded coffee maker in the break room.
Whoa.
So I wouldn't even take coffee with me.
What?
I would wait to get to work. The beans would grind, and then it was hooked up to a hot water supply. You just hit a button. It was the best cup of coffee I ever had.
Because whatever I can get at work is way better than whatever I can make at home.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for that, I just waited till I got to work.
I guess I don't know exactly what he's working with, but
he works in the architectural field now. I'm guessing they have a lot of coffee.
I would think.
Right?
I'm
burning
imagining.
I imagine his office is like Mad Men.
Yeah.
Skinny ties, a lot of advancement.
Yeah.
Things,
I think.
Just wood paneling.
There's panel and glass.
Every time they're having a conference, everyone has two cigarettes.
In each hand.
In each hand.
Yeah.
And they only address each other by last names.
Uh-huh.
That's how I envision his office.
Yeah.
But hey, Toots, get me some coffee is said a lot there.
Wow. Yeah, I think. I don't know. I've never been there.
I don't like that.
No.
I just want to say that's how I'm imagining
that's
it.
That's how you imagine it
yes.
to be.
I don't subscribe to that theory.
I don't
no.
know. I haven't been during the daytime. I've only been once on like a
when
farmer's market.
When they clean
market.
It up?
Yeah.
Before the spouses come over?
We just kind of went through on a farmer's market Saturday like, this is where I work. I'm like, oh, huh, this is what it looks like when there's no
Have you had
in
the
it.
60s sitcom plot line where you've got to make dinner because the boss is coming over yet? No.
No. No, I have not. That would be awful.
I've invited the boss over. What do we have?
That's so much pressure.
And then you're like, I'll make a roast.
Oh, no.
That was the plot of pretty much every black and white into early color sitcom, if you think about it.
But nowadays,
Bewitched.
I'm like, how would I even pull that off? Like, I'm not even home to make a roast.
That's a good point.
Most days of the week? Like, how?
That's not even happening.
That's not even happening. Like, it's a big deal if we can even have a meal. Like,
you could run out and get a meal kit, I guess.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Or order in. But the boss is coming over.
The boss is coming to dinner.
I've got to impress him. I think I'm up for a promotion.
Oh, I hope he likes grilled cheese.
He's getting grilled cheese.
Or we'll do a grilled PBJ because that's what my kids prefer.
Would you like an applesauce cup, sir?
I
have Go-Gurt.
I will slice the apple. You like the skin on or off?
Well, I have Capri Sun. We don't have any wine.
I can serve the Capri Sun in a wine glass, though.
You wouldn't know.
Some people in this house like that. We are fancy.
You're flexible.
I'm very flexible.
But it's you'll fine. End that meal with the best cup of coffee he or she has ever had.
Stolen.
Stolen from an event promoting active hearts and women's health.
Is it stolen if they were just handing it
out? No, it was a free sample. We just helped ourselves too many.
It was free.
We took quite a few.
It was a gift. And this is just one of those, like, hop over on Reddit. What's the conversation? What are people talking about? And I think that this is a funny topic. People are talking about the weirdest things that guests have done in their homes.
Well, remember, I fostered a Broadway star.
Yeah, I'm like, you've had some long-term guests, and you guys have people over all the time.
Yeah. From a weird standpoint, like, she left a lot of her own personal items, which I just find that weird. But she also went out partying all night because it was the last night of the show and then had to catch an early flight. So that was just, it was a lot of weird there.
Uh-huh.
I think things were flushed in my toilet that weren't supposed to be because we had a sewer backup.
Oh no.
Yeah, it wasn't
good.
Things were shoved into our freezer and then the freezer was left slightly ajar and my phone went off because we have an alarm and I had to call her and tell her to close. She's like, well, I wondered what that beeping was.
It's the freezer.
You caused that.
It's the freezer telling you to close it.
I've recently had a guest while we were doing a game watch who spent a lot of time in the bathroom.
I've had that too.
And that's one of those that you don't know whose job it is to check on the person.
Well, okay, so I'll do you, well, not one better, one worse, I guess. We were playing a game and it was like, it's your turn. And everybody knows it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, time's a ticking. Should we check on them? Should we knock?
It's always weird when you're out, right? Because you're in a public place.
Yeah.
At a restaurant, I was like, oh, God, who do we send in?
Yeah.
At your house, though, at least usually the person came with someone else.
Yes. And
so
spouse, do you want to check on?
Spouse or partner's is job one.
Yes.
And then probably gender is job two.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just to be. Just like, hey, I don't know what's happening in this behind this closed
same
door.
Same gender host.
Yeah.
Do you want to go check on them?
Exactly.
You can play it that way.
Yes.
Some other people chimed in as well. Someone had a friend stay over and they're like, oh, I forgot my toothbrush, so I just found one under the sink. And then the homeowner is like, that's the one I use for cleaning.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
You said, like, sometimes you'll have somebody come over and they'll just, like, randomly flush. Thanks.
Yeah, we also had, and I don't know who left this, somebody who's been watching our dogs, all of a sudden we have a new supply of feminine hygiene products in our house that we've never had before.
Well, that's fun.
So you know what? I guess if you're spending the night, all power to you.
Yeah, bring stuff.
That's the guest bathroom. Might as well let my guests fill it with their stuff.
Do you ever, like, wonder what they're doing when they're
in the bathroom for so long?
No, when they're hanging out with your dogs? Like,
yeah, sometimes. We used to have one that I knew drank our wine. And would smoke, which we knew she was, but she would always smoke outside. But then I would find, like, cigarette butts and stuff outside. Yeah.
One person said that they had somebody hired to walk the dog. And they that was all that was supposed to be happening. But they later found out that the person would spend hours at their home just hanging out, watching TV with the dog on the couch. They thought it was, like, bold move. But maybe they were just trying to have a little bit of peace. Just to get away from.
When I'm asking you to walk, the moment you walk in my house, for the most part, probably minus our bedroom, mi casa es su casa.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to eat our food.
You're okay with that.
If you want to have a cocktail, because most people are like, oh, I'll watch your dog for free, right? We don't even have a pay scale figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And you already know them. You trust them to be there. So I'm okay with it.
Okay.
If we get into realms like borrow the car, tried on some of your wife's jewelry.
Try on your clothes.
Try it on your clothes. Now we're moving way past the line where I'm comfortable.
Yeah, go ahead and sit on the couch.
I'm okay. If you want to bring your Game Boy over or your Xbox and hook it up to my TV, that's great.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, but if you want to see if your shoe size is my shoe size,
No.
We're not doing that.
Take off my pants.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
It happens a lot in movies, really cartoons, where the character sees something and either their eyeballs pop out of their head or they like rub them really hard because they don't believe what they're seeing. That's exactly it. On my drive-in today, after I made that sound while I rubbed my eyes, one more time, I saw a house decorated for Christmas.
Like all out?
Blue lights on the trees and then red and green across the silhouette of the house.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I drive the same route and it's a little neighborhood just off of the radio station on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, kind of up a side road.
Wow.
And I just glanced up and went, oh, there it is. Couldn't see in their window, but I would suspect if the outside's ready to go, maybe the inside's ready to go too.
Now, is the home of one of the classic decorations in our neck of the woods here around Z102.9, there is a decoration that we lovingly refer to as Whizzer Santa.
Whizzer Santa is a probably some sort of fiberglass Santa on the roof, and then one stream of gold lights that go down to a golden puddle on the ground. I did not see Whizzer Santa
he's
yet.
He's not.
Whizzer Santa. Okay. So we're not officially.
It's not.
We're not officially there yet.
Well, then it's not really the holidays.
It's not the holidays until whoever owns that house climbs up on the roof, puts Santa up there.
Puts Whizzer Santa up.
Strings one strand of gold lights all the way down to their front yard and makes a little pool. No. Yep. Whizzer Santa's not up.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
I'll keep looking for Whizzer Santa.
Thank you.
Because Whizzer Santa's right off the on-ramp, off-ramp.
Exactly.
At what I consider to be the most dangerous intersection in all of Cedar Rapids.
Perhaps the most dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know there's a yield sign there, but nobody reads it.
No.
So
not when you're looking at Whizzer Santa.
Also, it gets doubly dangerous because you're like, did I just see what I thought I saw?
Is that Santa Claus relieving himself off
the
of a roof?
Surprise, surprise. Huh. Merry Christmas.
Never know what you're going to see in Cedar Rapids. Yesterday, you and I went to Go Red for Women in Cedar Rapids, which is always such a great event. It's part like lunch and learn, part fundraiser.
It's been a minute since I've been to that event. It's very celebratory. There's a lot of fellowship. You build each other up.
Yeah.
Highly educational.
Educational because you get to learn a lot about the different signs and symptoms of heart and stroke in women. You get to hear some cool stories about survivor stories of how it has affected people. You hear from actual doctors, medical professionals about the signs, things to look for in yourself, things to look out for. And then there's the fundraising aspect, which is so, so important. And there's a bunch of tables and tables of things that you can bid on. And I got into a bidding war over something I really, really wanted to get my daughter for Christmas. There was a Chiefs jersey that had the number 13 and it said Swift.
I saw that
on the back, but it was getting just a little too rich for my blood and I had to let it go.
Oh,
I had to back out.
When you were in
an
auction that long and you keep checking your phone,
and
that hurts.
I was rude yesterday. I was on my phone the whole time. I was like, oh,
that's what you were doing.
Yes.
I thought you had a family emergency.
No.
You are sitting across the table from me through what will be known as the tallest centerpiece in the history of live events.
Yes.
I could only see your face through the vase. So it was upside down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is everything okay?
No.
But you were so far away, I couldn't do anything.
She got all in on
this
jersey.
You were bidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I would text my husband like, should I do it again? Like, one more? Yeah. Hit me again. Okay, let's go. And then it was like, okay, I got to bow out on this thing. But I won a gift basket that actually is all for my garden.
What came in that?
It was great. Here's the thing. I just kind of willy-nilly like, oh, you know what? I'm going to lose this one. I'd like to win something. I'd really like to be a winner today. So this. So the gardening basket I knew had a pair of snippers and I really need new gardening. I really need new gardening snippers. I didn't know what else was in the basket.
You just bought it for one item?
Yes, 110%. I really needed new gardening snippers. I thought, this is great. I saw it had some seeds, and I also need new gloves. It had two pairs of gloves.
Lovely,
in it.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a great, great item. But I did not know. It also came with, this is so embarrassing, it came with a gift card. So I can go to Culver's Garden Center.
Oh, that's great.
I can go shopping at Culver's. And then I got contacted by the person who put the basket together.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, I was also going to include a purse and I lost the purse. Can I send you a purse?
What?
I know.
But you have a gardening purse now?
I now have my own gardening purse, which I have never had a gardening purse before.
Where your gloves and your pruners can go, your gardening purse.
It is my gardening purse, and I cannot wait.
So the deal was the University of Iowa was looking to buy the rest of Old Capitol Town Center, Old Capitol Mall, and the Regents gave the thumbs up. So $20.6 million eventually later, and probably a couple of years to close the deal, the University of Iowa will own the entire building of the Old Capitol Town Center. Right now, they currently own 45% of the property. That thing was built back in the early 80s. Uh-huh. And it was about the time that Coral Ridge came around, where a lot of the retail components started to leave.
Yeah.
And then you saw a few restaurants pop up, but it just was having a hard time maintaining retail. It's mostly university, some ground floor retail, right, that can serve off of the main street, a couple of shops as well.
Sure.
And as we understand it, it looks like they're going to try to hold on to those retail leases for as long as they can. Time to see if a campaign trail promise to Iowa comes true. While campaigning, then-candidate Trump mentioned the possibility of an American state fair to celebrate the 250th birthday of America. That's going to be in 2026. His suggested location, the Iowa State Fairgrounds. So we will see. The idea would be 50 pavilions at the fairgrounds to represent each of the 50 states. The idea is back in the spotlight. Apparently, after the election, Elon Musk brought it up. Hmm. So we will see if that has any legs. It'll
be
interesting because, remember, Kim Reynolds was not supporting Trump initially out of the gate. And also, if I recall the last time he was president, maybe a grudge or two is held. So we will see
if
this American birthday thing happens or not in Iowa.
For America!
What's got us feeling all right, of course, is our kid captain. She's 9. She's from Olwine. And her name is Natalie...
Embruchal.
M-O-C-H-A-L. I was either going to go with Mochel or Mockel or neither. What would you say?
Mochel.
She was born prematurely at 25 weeks, wasn't breathing, weighed 1 pound, 5 ounces. At 2 weeks old, underwent heart surgery. She later developed severe chronic hives and asthma. She is a regular at the said Family Children's Hospital. But as active as a 9-year-old can be, Natalie enjoys fourth grade, loves school, sports, theater camp. She's a theater person. So Natalie Mochel, the 9-year-old, our kids captain for the Iowa-UCLA game, which is tonight.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Three people have been arrested and charged in connection with Liam Payne's death. Argentinian authorities have ruled out self-harm of any kind or foul play in Liam's fall from the hotel balcony in Buenos Aires back in October. They say he was in a state of either semi or total unconsciousness at the time of his fall. One of the defendants was described as a friend who reportedly accompanied Liam Payne on a daily basis during his stay in Buenos Aires. The person was charged with abandonment of a person followed by death.
Didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either. The other two people charged are charged with supplying Liam the drugs.
Either any of these people hotel employees, or has that not been announced yet?
That hasn't been announced. I don't have that with that, but earlier, I believe that's kind of the story
they were looking
that I was getting.
Somebody, right?
Somebody like who worked at the
concierge
towel,
or a bellboy or a
somebody was
valet.
The connection. Yeah. So that's early information was that somebody at the hotel was kind of supplying him with that, with those drugs. So that hasn't been confirmed right now, but toxicology tests confirmed that Liam Payne was under the influence of at least 3 days leading up to his fall.
Wow.
Traces of alcohol, cocaine, prescription antidepressants in his system. Some good news. Pharrell Williams' organization. It's called Black Ambition, and he is going to give out $2.7 million to help up-and-coming entrepreneurs thrive.
Lovely.
Yeah, the money is going to be allocated to businesses demonstrating innovation and growth in healthcare, media, technology, artificial intelligence. The purpose behind it is to break down barriers, increase diversity in entrepreneurship. So they're going to provide mentorship to over 1,000 founders and generate $265 million in revenue. They're going to double down their commitment to accelerate growth for Black and Hispanic business owners.
I don't know when the Pharrell Lego biopic comes out, but yeah. I cannot wait to see it.
It's really an interesting concept, right?
Where he was, what he did in the music world. Now he's in the world of fashion. He works for Louis Vuitton.
I know. Yeah. He's such an interesting dude, but like you don't just start out as like huge hip hop mogul. You don't just start out as like hit making producer. You gotta kind of pay your dues. You gotta start out like a lot of people start out. Pharrell actually first job at McDonald's.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. He actually did 3 stints at McDonald's and each one ended with a pink slip. He said
fries, the McFlurry machine, and what? Like drive-thru?
It all came down to him.
Bad attitude?
My first job, my only job, I got fired 3 times. I was eating chicken nuggets.
He was eating the product?
Yep. First 2 times, it was just, I was lazy. 3rd time, it was like, what are you doing? Are you just sitting there eating chicken nuggets?
It does sound enticing, though.
You're surrounded by it. I don't know I can't believe it was just nuggets. It wasn't the whole shebang.
Back in the day, I would have those and the McCookies.
Yeah.
Of the little fry guy shapes. Oh. Those little.
I'd be making my own creations, right?
Might as well.
Yeah. Mix a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So good. And okay, let's play a little. Is it shade? I don't know what Travis Kelce ever did to the folks over at Jeopardy, but the show did him a little dirty this week. $200 clue.
Whoa!
Rude! Is it shade?
Are they trying to help the contestants along because they're thinking the contestants don't know football but know pop culture?
Maybe.
Are they saying Swift is bigger than the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Okay, if they phrased it just as he's the host of Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity and a 3-time Super Bowl champion, would you know who it is? He's the host
By adding boyfriend, it narrows down the list quite quickly.
It's
a clue in the clue. It's helpful. It's shade.
It's demeaning. On the heels of also having a super sexist question in the show, I think last week as well, boys only make passes at girls, don't make passes at girls who wear glasses. When one of the contestants was a girl wearing glasses. Like, Jeopardy, what are you doing?
Also, didn't they have a little bit of behind the scenes problems? Not like at the Ellen level.
No.
But didn't they have some?
There was some questions behind the scenes.
I think maybe it's a time to have a retreat.
I don't know. Maybe we should
bring in one of those people who just make sure everyone understands equal opportunity.
Yeah. Like, who's writing the questions, guys? Guys. I have to assume guys.
Let's add a couple ladies, can we? A couple ladies back in the question writing room.
Maybe. That's how we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Welcome back to Friday, nerds. On this 45th week of the year 2026, broadcasting from our elevation of 840 feet above sea level on a map, you'll find us at 41.8 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west. This is Nerd News. The man behind this voice died this week. Elwood Edwards, the voice of You Got Mail, died at the age of 74. He recorded that message for America Online, also known as AOL, back in 1989, and got the job thanks to his wife.
89?
The internet was around, but home use wasn't really a thing, nor was email for the most part. And AOL's idea was to send these CDs to everybody. It was junk mail. Yeah. Everybody got one.
Oh, absolutely. I remember it now.
You would load the CD.
Yeah.
It would offer you a free email platform.
Yeah.
And then the voice you would hear is that of Elwood Edwards. So his wife was working for a different computer company, but they shared an employee with AOL. Just heard in the hallway they were looking for a voice. She went home and recorded him on their personal tape recorder in their living room. And that got him the job.
Wow.
AOL, by the way, 50% of all of the CDs produced in the year of 1998, when CDs were, I'm sorry, yeah, 1998, when CDs were still very hot, had the AOL logo on it. So half of the CDs they're pressing for the music industry, and half was just for AOL to send out the software to sign up everybody for AOL.
That's
wild. Isn't
that
crazy? So we salute you, Elwood Edwards.
Aww.
Kicking off nerd news for this morning. When is a dime, 10 cents, actually worth over $500,000? It's when it goes up for auction because it has a misprint on it.
Uh-oh.
Numismatics, those are coin collectors, were a little excited this week when a rare U.S. dime missing its mark from where it was minted from 1975 went up for auction and sold for $506,250. That dime is worth more than $500,000.
What does it say instead of what's it supposed to say?
So,
what's it say?
Imagine the back of a dime.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And you've got President Kennedy on there.
Yeah.
Or Eisenhower. I don't remember. Kennedy. Either one. It's somebody's head.
Yeah.
And right below the nape of the neck, there's a letter. And that letter signifies where it was printed, minted.
Yeah.
It was missing the S.
Oh, man.
The owner bought it in 1978 for $18,000. It was already worth a ton of money when it came out.
He bought an S-less dime.
An S-less dime for $18,000 in 78, held on to it for 50 years, put it up for auction, takes home $506,250.
All for an S-less dime.
An S-less dime. They had bidders from Germany, Japan, the UK, and the United States. The winning bidder of this S-less dime, anonymous.
What?
Yeah. Or maybe just anonymous. Oh. Maybe he, too, is a little S-less. We
S-less.
Don't know. What happens when the monkeys at the testing facility get out?
I don't know. What happens?
Well,
when... Oh, it's not a joke.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry.
43 monkeys are on the loose in South Carolina right now. They got up free from a facility.
What?
The Yemisi Police Department issued an alert on social media earlier this week confirming 43 primates had escaped Wednesday night from the Alpha Genesis facility, a bio-research company that really doesn't want the world to know that the monkeys got out.
Well, you're doing
Residents have been warned to contact police and do not confront the primates. Because don't you want to pet a monkey, right? It's a monkey.
Well, wait.
What?
Are these agitated?
No. The good news is they're young, and as the company was very quick to point out, guys, they are disease-free. These are disease-free.
Well,
we know what we're doing in the labs. They're disease-free. It's
disease-free.
Fine.
Disease-free.
Don't approach them. Let the police do their job.
Don't approach them, but don't worry, they're disease-free.
The community members are like, you guys...
What are you not telling? Doesn't it feel a lot like
totally.
You're not saying
you're
something?
You're not saying something.
Yes.
In May, 19 got out. So now you have a problem with your security.
Yeah, what's going on?
Also, you are in charge of an island off the coast of South Carolina known as Morgan Island, better known as Monkey Island.
What?
Where you're maintaining a colony of 3,500 monkeys there.
What?
Yes.
Wait, is that Planet of the Apes?
It sounds like we're getting close.
No.
Remember, you've got a disease. They're a testing lab for bioresearch. Monkeys get smart. What are they testing on? They do a
Clearly
lot of brain
they're
science.
Smart enough to get out.
This is the plot to Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
And it's taking place in the movie. It was in California. But in real life, it's in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
The rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen right there. It's going to be in Hilton Head. All those monkeys are going to be carrying golf clubs. We don't know what's going to be going on.
2025, baby.
Come back to these exact coordinates next week, nerds, for Nerd News on Z102.9.
All right, band, are you guys ready?
Yeah, that's a laid-back kind of vibe. Yeah.
Announcer's name, are you ready in studio, sir?
You got it, sir.
All right, time to head west. Lester...
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of director of bands, Danson, John, Philip, Sousa, Hansen. Yay! And musical director, Greg Young. Yay! The Z102.9 Marching Band presents a special show today featuring the Scramble Players, including director Hansen and band secretary Claire. The Scramble Players present in the style of the SNL sketch, The Californians. This week, we listen in as two Californians catch up on Iowa football.
Tim Lester, who's he? Oh, what happened to Brian Ferentz? That's a good question. You see, Kirk Ferentz couldn't keep Brian Ferentz on the staff anymore, so he said goodbye to Brian Ferentz and hired Tim Lester to coach the Iowa offense.
Oh, wow. You know so much. By the way, I'm a Bruins fan. My name is Susan. Susan the Bruin. Who are you, and what are you doing here?
I'm Stuart, and I just drove to California from Iowa. I took I-80 to Des Moines, and then drove to Kansas City on the I-35. From there, he got on the I-70 till he hit the 15. It took like 29 hours.
Oh my God. You fool! You're doing it wrong. Everybody knows you take I-80 from Iowa City to Julesburg, Colorado. And then you hop on the I-76 until Denver, and then I-70 all the way to 15. You save money on, like, tolls and gas. It only takes, like, 26 hours. Basically, you can do it all, like, in a day, Stuart. And then you become a day tripper.
2 2 3 4 Susan, Stuart, can I chime in?
Announcer's name? Wait a second. What are you doing here?
I, too, am Californian, through and through.
I thought you were from Wisconsin.
Yeah, what do you know about California?
Our family took a road trip once for the 85 Rose Bowl. We all jumped in our family conversion van and drove from Sheboygan to Los Angeles. You take 151 through Dubuque to Coralville, and then follow Susan's route to L.A. Along the way, we saw the Casa Grande ruins in Arizona before seeing the Bruins beat the Hawkeyes.
Whoa, the Bruins and the Casa Grande ruins? What a trip.
Yeah, you're lucky.
You're telling me. My old man even let me drive, and I was only 11. He handed me the keys and said, "Hit the road, Jack."
Announcer's name, Jack?
Whoa!
Z102.9 Marching Band. This is announcer's name saying enjoy the second half. And go Hawkeyes!
Waking you up with the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Time to go inside Hawkeye football. It's our Hawkeye football insider. Because A, he's very knowledgeable, and yes. B, he's inside the building. Todd Brolligan from 1600 ESPN. Welcome,
Todd. Todd.
We actually get to talk on game day.
I was going to say, good thing we're talking to you today. They're playing tonight.
Isn't this, is odd. I don't know if I'm ready for this, Todd. Is the team ready for this?
We'll find out later tonight. I can't answer that.
Well, let's focus on kind of the unusual nature of this game first. We've got a Friday game at night on the West Coast. So that means we had a shorter week to prepare, plus time zones and daylight savings or keepings time or whatever
it
is.
Add that in as well, because we do have that factor. I mean, my kid still isn't adjusted to the daylight savings time. Like, I don't know if the Hawkeyes have adjusted yet.
You know, both teams played last week. They're both playing on a short week. You know, sometimes I think that gets overblown a little bit. If UCLA had a bye week or something, I would think, definite issues here. They were in Nebraska last week, so they had to travel to the Midwest and then travel back home. Iowa got the benefit of playing at home and now travels out there. I think it's storylines, the stuff that you talk about with this matchup. I don't know whether it really matters or not. I know we'll talk a little bit about another storyline, which is Iowa tending to not play great football west of the Rocky Mountains, and especially under Kirk Ferentz's watch. Again, I don't know what to expect from this game tonight.
Well, let's talk about that next storyline. So UCLA, the last time Iowa played them was 1985 in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, where we're playing the game tonight. Iowa does not do well on the West Coast, specifically in the Kirk Ferentz area, minus a very, very strong Holiday Bowl in 2019. Is that just more storyline, or can you actually say that starts to creep into how they're thinking about this trip?
Yeah, I think there's something to it going west, and you saw Kirk Ferentz, they played non-conference home and aways with Arizona and Arizona State. And the away portion of those games didn't exactly go great for Iowa, especially the Arizona State game in 2004. The Holiday Bowl was, they're out there for a week and you get acclimated and everything. So I don't know how much stock to put into that. I know that Kirk does not like the short week every year with the Nebraska game. Mm-hmm. And that's different because it's over the Thanksgiving break. And this one, I think, is interesting. And I talked to a couple of the players on Tuesday about it. You know, you're going to class. This isn't over break. So you've got to take out, you come out of your routine. You know, you're traveling on a Thursday instead of a Friday and playing on a Friday night and in a stadium that most guys aren't accustomed to against a team that wasn't even in the Big Ten a year ago. So there's some unknowns here. And factor in the last time that we saw Iowa play in that stadium against Stanford in the Rose Bowl. They were, they didn't appear to have the proper cleats on. They were struggling with the turf. Is that going to be an issue this time? So there's just a whole lot of unknowns about this game tonight.
But
I wish I had the answers, and I don't.
But we do know that this team is no Stanford, right? I mean, from the stats alone, this team is no Stanford.
Yeah. Now, I've had a bad feeling about this game all year long, and then they looked terrible at the beginning of the year, and I'm thinking, man, how can anybody pick Iowa to lose to UCLA? Look who's won their last two games.
Yeah.
And did so on the road. They've got a decent quarterback in Ethan Garbers. This UCLA team is better tonight than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago.
And I'm wondering too, we talked a lot about that stat where teams that travel long distances, now that we have this expanded Big Ten, see more losses than wins. We have to take that off the board because Nebraska was at home hosting UCLA, which was their most recent victory. And that's a little bit of a shorter travel. So hopefully maybe that jinx won't play into this, but they do seem to be on the up and up. But Todd, can't we also say as Iowa fans, Iowa right now, two games, 40 plus or 40 and 42 points. I like what I see right now with Sullivan under center.
Yeah, and I do too. I was actually in the stands on Saturday night for the first time in a really long time. And again, they appear to have a little bit of a different energy with him at quarterback. His mobility allows them to do some things and open some things up for Caleb Johnson that I just don't think Cade McNamara's presence really does for them. So I fully believe Iowa fans should be excited about the possibility of what Brendan Sullivan brings to the field. I don't think they'll see him throwing the ball a ton tonight against UCLA because they're not very good against the run. And when you've got Caleb Johnson,
yeah.
if you mm-hmm. can rely on him to carry the ball, you're going to rely on him to carry the ball. They're also really bad in the red zone. So if Iowa gets down inside the 20, they should have some success coming away with some points tonight.
Do we know what weather's looking like in California? I know that rain last week was frustrating. Things got a little slippery and slidey here in Iowa. But what's weather like in California tonight?
You know what? I haven't even looked at the forecast.
I haven't either. I'm just like, it's California. It's going to be sunny, man.
Oh, naturally.
It's time to surf, dude.
Yeah, man. We should probably look into that, man.
I'm sure they – I hope when they packed all the cleats and everything, they knew exactly what they were getting into when they got on the plane. Playing on Thursday. What are we thinking? Vegas thinks Iowa is not quite a touchdown favorite. I've seen spreads from 5 to 6 points. How about Todd?
We are sticking, and I don't like this. I said at the very beginning of the year that I thought this game was problematic. And so I'm not going back on my... No.
Come on.
I picked them to lose. I had UCLA 23, Iowa 18. Now that's I'm not infallible. I'm if I was better at this, I'd be running polls for the Des Moines Register or something. my gut feeling on this. There's a lot not to like about playing on a Friday night, going to the West Coast. I think Iowa's the better team. I'll be pleasantly surprised and happy to be wrong here. But what fun would it be if I picked Iowa to win every single week?
That's true.
You know? So I think there's reasons to be concerned about this game, and we'll find out whether or not those reasons have any merit.
They all do have merit. That's why we love having you come in. You tell it like it is.
Exactly.
You get the information
on
campus.
Talk.
It's real talk. It's
Nobody wants to be told like it is. That's the problem. Everybody wants to be told how great their team is. And
yeah. But that's not why we have you come in.
No,
you're our Hawkeye insider.
If there's a blemish, you see it and we talk about it. We expose it.
He's real. Todd's real, you guys.
We give you just a flavor of that real talk with Todd, but you can get a lot more from 1600 ESPN.
Yeah, I got to remember what day it is. So Friday, we're playing a game tonight, right? So
it's a today.
The podcast is available like it normally is at 8 a.m. on Friday. You just have less time to consume it because the game kicks
it's
off tonight. So
get to it, folks.
Yeah.
That
finish listening to the Morning Scramble. And then when time allows, go to the 1600 ESPN Facebook page and listen to Before the Boom.
And then get in an app. You got an 8 p.m. kickoff Central Time.
But then you got Saturday all day
that's
for
true,
activities.
That's true.
Because who needs to work? I mean, just coast through. It's Friday.
You know who I want to see work? That football team.
Yeah.
Who's at work
now?
The Hawkeyes are working tonight.
Get to work, boys.
That's Todd Brommelkamp, our Hawkeye Insider on the Morning Scramble. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.